Welcome to Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. This podcast is all about conversations about healing and rising from the ashes of your grief and trauma. In this podcast, we will be deconstructing and highlighting the different aspects of grief and loss. I'm your host, Dr. Christina Zampatella. What are some protective factors for people?
Sure. So obviously, I mean, again, like all of this sounds very basic, but this is stuff that everyone needs to be paying attention to within themselves and with everyone they know all the time, because these counterbalance the risk factors that we were talking about. So take care of your mental health. Like, pay attention to yourself, pay attention to the people around you.
How do you take care of your mental health?
So we're talking about basic crap that everyone preaches about all the time and no one has time to do. So sleep, get enough sleep, exercise, eat a healthy diet, and then pay attention to when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're having periods of depression, what you're doing with your anxiety. And then if you need help, you need to get it. You know, we talk all the time, we're such a medical-based society. Like, you sneeze and you run to the doctor. What the fuck? Like, why is it that we have to wait until some major mental health crisis happens to even pay attention to it? If you're struggling with mental health symptoms, they're exactly the same as physical health symptoms. This is something in your body, in your brain. Go and get it checked out. Like, pay attention. And you don't necessarily have to go into intensive therapy. You don't have to take medication if you don't want it. But go to a provider, have a conversation, see what they think, see what options are. Again, it's being proactive, it's getting ahead of it, because you need to be proactive instead of reactive. Because then if you're reactive, I don't know, we don't want to say it's too late, but then it's harder to get yourself back where you need to be. So a strong base of mental health is obviously like a major protective factor. I don't know if I said this already, 1 in 4 of us will end up being with a diagnosable mental health disorder at some point in time.
You didn't say that.
I don't know. I have honestly no idea where that number comes from, but I have it. It's real research.
I believe it.
And I think, again, yeah. I think it's a low ball.
Yeah.
I'd say it's more than that. And of the 1 in 4, less than half of those will get any kind of mental health treatment ever.
God.
So like, we're all struggling and no one's doing anything about it. So paying attention to your mental health and the mental health of those around you. We touched on it briefly, like having any kind of support network, whether it is a family, your culture, your church, anything that you can kind of relate to, where they have the capacity when and if you're struggling to ground you, to support you, to remind you of what your coping skills are. Because if you do get to the point where you're struggling with depression, anxiety, I don't know, psychosis, substance abuse, it's hard to access the coping skills that you already have. So having something in place can be really, really helpful. But it's also easier said than done. Like, some of us don't have families, don't have friends, but that's when you have to be proactive. I mean, there's places that you can go, there's groups that you can join, there's organizations that you can join. You can be a volunteer with mental health organizations, with the AFSP. Like, there's networks that you can build ahead of time to make sure that there's someone there for you if you need them. And it sounds so simple and so basic, but like, it can do such a tremendous amount of good for you. Protective factors.
How about like having routine in your life, structure and routine, so that you know what I mean? Like it provides you almost like with a container of, I'm having a shitty day today, but you know, I get up, I always get up at 8 o'clock. I get up at 8 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do that. And at least if you're, you know, having the roteness, I guess, of, you know, have doing the same thing every day. If you're in a deeper, darker place or an anxious place, it's a little bit more, you can navigate it a little bit more because you at least, you know, you're functioning over here. I don't know. Is that?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. And that's a great point because the routine will help you to realize when and if something's off as well.
That's a good point.
So if you are used to like being very structured and you go through the same thing every day, well, if you find that all of a sudden you're having a harder time getting up when the alarm goes off, or you're struggling through that meeting, or you're getting snappy with your kids. You know, those, again, they're kind of signs that you can tell based on the routine that something might be a little bit off, something's not right. Again, like problem solving skills.
Yeah.
Like sounds simple, basic, but if you have problem solving skills just kind of at baseline and you learn to navigate difficult situations in your day-to-day life, that will carry over. But it's something that you need to put into practice ahead of time. You need to make sure that you know what your coping skills are when there's not a crisis, so that as things start to fall apart or shit hits the fan, you can access those. Mm-hmm. I wish there was something like bigger or cooler, some badass protective factor that I could be like, y'all can go out and get that, and that'd be great.
Yeah.
But it's really just being mindful, paying attention to yourself and everybody else, and laying a groundwork so that if and when you start to kind of spiral, you know what your resources are, both internally and externally, and you can access them more effectively.
So not developing coping skills ahead of time, actually having them in place beforehand so that you mm-hmm. have access to them when it does happen.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes when people go to therapy, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to build up your coping skills. It's kind of like if you would have had coping skills in the beginning, then we could build upon them even further. Like even things like mindfulness and all the things that we talk about, breathing skills, and they sound like kind of cliche, but there's actually a lot of truth to it, for sure. So the social support, just to make sure we got all this right, the social support, having the groups in place around you in case you need to turn to them, like churches or synagogues, or having those boundaries in place in your life. That's another thing, yeah. Right? Having boundaries, not letting people, step all over you, so that you know that you have the ability to take care of yourself. This is my space. It's your space.
Right. I love boundaries.
Yeah, I love boundaries too. Oh my God. Tell me about the America. You are good at those. I'm like, do you want to? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, we're not going to do it. You're not going to do the Peloton ride with me? We're Peloton cult members, just in case you're wondering. Tell us about the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
So the AFSP is a national organization. We're all across the U.S., 74 chapters-ish, wow.
Ish.
Yeah. And it's a total nonprofit that it's geared towards research. So we fund a shitload of research and, are a major, major provider there. Research, education. So we go into the community and offer free education and free trainings to all sorts of populations.
Okay.
They're starting to roll things out all the way from young kids all the way up. We can do, just basic day-to-day stuff, schools, employment. Like, we offer a ton of resources. So research, education, just prevention efforts broadly, which goes into education. And then we do a lot of support for suicide loss survivors as well, which gets confusing sometimes. We hear people say, like, oh, I didn't realize that you guys targeted me as a loss survivor. Because it's supposed to be for suicide prevention, mm-hmm. but we do a lot of work. So we've got an outreach program rather for suicide loss survivors, where they are paired with someone who shares a similar loss. So you kind of have a peer connection that you get to talk to. If I lost a sibling to suicide, I'd connect with someone who also lost the sibling before. They'll be further removed in their loss, and you share experiences and what works for you, what doesn't, and you kind of get to meet someone where they are. Which again is really cool. The organization's phenomenal. There's so many resources on their website. There's so much literature. Again, we've got trainings out the wazoo for all kinds of demographics and populations and everything else. And it's all free.
Yeah. I don't even think people know about it. Mm-hmm. Now, the Out of Darkness Walk, mm-hmm. that's part of the foundation, right? And then we also had, every year here mm-hmm. at the center, we've been doing it's not considered the Out of Darkness Walk. What is that? That's identified as a different kind of fundraising.
Yeah, so they run a bunch of fundraising walks all through the year, because obviously as a nonprofit, fundraising kind of drives the organization.
Right.
So they have what's called the overnight every year, which is what Liz just did.
Yeah.
And that is, it's bi-coastal. So once a year they pick a different city on each coast, and you walk 16, 17 miles through the night. So the opening ceremony is at sundown, and then you walk through the night, and there's an opening ceremony or a closing ceremony at sunrise the next morning. It's bananas. So they have that once a year, and then they have community walks all over the country, where you fundraise and you go and you, well, you don't even have to fundraise. You can just go and you join a group of community members. Again, everyone has either lost someone to suicide or has struggled with suicide themselves or is there to support someone. So it's just this really inclusive, phenomenal community. And you go on like a 3-mile walk and, you know, there's a lot of different conversations and you get access to literature and resources. They happen all year long. And then we also offer campus walks. So if college kids or high school kids lose someone, they can also organize a walk on their campus if they want to.
Does the University of Delaware do that?
I think they just had one recently. I think they did their first one this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Go my alma mater.
Yeah.
Alma mater.
Remember?
Oh, yeah. It's a new
kind of
alma mater. It's a new version of it. New version.
Yeah, so the organization's really, really great. There's a lot of great pieces to it. And again, like if you're either struggling with thoughts yourself, if you have someone in your family who is struggling, or if you have lost someone to suicide, it's all right there for you. The website can point you in all of these different directions.
I think that's really important. Let our viewers know where they can get these, these resources, because I think one of the things I've noticed is that when we hold the groups here, the survivors of suicide loss, they're like, I didn't know where I could get any help, or I didn't know where I could, you know, find groups, because there's not a lot of groups that are being run, which kind of blows my mind. And in Delaware, it doesn't surprise me. Delaware's mental health system is just so underrated, you know, than, you know, compared to other states, you know. I know that when I went to school out in California, I mean, the amount of resources out there for mental health is, I'll use your word, bananas. But here in Delaware, it's like, wait, what? So, you know, not even having places for people to go is very distressing for people. And we certainly have a lot of survivors of suicide, you know, that we see.
I mean,
we've experienced a lot of our own stuff here, too, you know, as clinicians, even.
Again, so 48,000 a year.
I can't even.
And I don't think I said this. The, like, guesstimate, again, like the baseline thing they say for every suicide, there's at least 25 attempts. Again, I don't know where this number comes from, but this is kind of like the standard.
They're the ones doing the research.
Which means that they're saying that more than 1.7 million attempts happened in 2021. Like, we need to pay attention to this. This is huge and is impacting so many people. And then it's the trickle down.
Absolutely.
So for every person who has either taken their life or attempted their life, chances are there's all of these survivors or their loved ones that are somehow trying to manage this and cope with it and deal with everything else that kind of accompanies a loss or someone who's struggling. So, like, this is a monster, monster issue.
It's monster. My brother attempted to take his own life before he died by overdose.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. It's... There's so many other things I want to get into, but I know that we have, you know, the other part of our conversation is going to happen. I think a lot more is going to come out there. But so in this conversation, in this hour that we've had together, how many people have taken their lives?
5, 6 in the United States.
It's disgusting.
At minimum?
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't mean disgusting as in they're disgusting. No, it's just heart-wrenching.
I know. I used to give a presentation a while back and I would pull, I have like a timer go off and I would pull people every, at the time it was like 11 minutes or something like that. And I'd put them in a different part of the room and they didn't know what was happening. And at the end of the presentation, you'd have this big cluster of people. And I'd be like, while this presentation was happening, 15 people just took their life.
Oh my God.
And then it's like, okay, like that.
What a good idea.
Is great. Idea. Is really over. It's overwhelming. And again, like all of the things that we're talking about apply to everyone.
Yeah.
All ages, all demographics, races, doesn't matter, gender. Like this is something that everyone needs to be paying attention to because it never goes from A to Z.
And you're not alone.
No.
And you feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel so alone. Whew, that's hard to imagine.
If nothing else, the numbers prove that you're not.
Yeah.
Like...
But it's so disenfranchised and so quiet and so stigmatized that people aren't running around going, hey, yeah, I just lost my sister to suicide. Oh, my God, I just lost my uncle to suicide. And we're not running around and talking about it. Mm-hmm. So because we're so shut down, but it's happening so frequently, people feel isolated.
Yeah.
And so finding those groups, finding a organization that can say, no, you're definitely not alone. And, you know, the foundation being able to be available to them and being able to put it out there and say, no, let's talk about it. There's no shame in this.
Yeah.
There's no shame.
None.
So
it's a sign of strength. Reaching out is absolutely a sign of strength.
Oh, I think that's an important thing for people to hear.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you reach out, you not only take care of yourself, but then you're able to take care of everyone else that you care about that much more effectively. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, there is nothing weak about anything that's happening here. It is absolute strength to be able to persevere, to help yourself, to help other people, to have a conversation. Like, it is all strength and ballsy and, like,
yep.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And being able to stand up and saying, this is not an indication of the value of the person that I lost. This is not a reflection about who he was as a person. Mm-hmm. This is something that he was going through. Mm-hmm. And this is also not a reflection on my family and about what kind of family that we are. And I think people try to hide that too, like to protect the reputation of the people. And of course, I totally understand that.
Well, what weren't they doing?
What did you guys do?
How did you not know?
And what's wrong with your family that this kind of thing could happen in your family and that kind of thing? So
talk. So talk if you are struggling. So if you notice a change in yourself, if you aren't feeling right, if you aren't acting right, if you have unusual stressors, concerns, if you're having a hard time coping, have a conversation with someone. Reach out for support, whether it is your primary care doctor, your therapist, your best friend, your neighbor, your coworker, some random person that you met through the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. I don't care. Have a conversation to allow yourself to kind of bring this out. Because again, there's so much shame and guilt that goes along with this. Bring it out into the room. Have a conversation. Talk to anyone who you think might be struggling. We didn't really go into any detail about like the actual warning signs. Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about the risk factors, but you know, the warning signs that you would see before someone is kind of moving that direction. If you're noticing changes in someone's speech, mood, or behavior.
Speech, mood, or behavior.
So again, this sounds pretty basic, but people, if they're talking about death or dying or feeling like a burden, and people make these comments all the time, like, oh, yeah, I should just kill myself. Well, dude, pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. It might be nothing, but it might be something. So if anyone's talking about being just too exhausted and too much pain, a burden, anything else, like pay attention to language. Even if it's a joke, even if it's something that people say all the time or it sounds nonchalant, just notice it. Pay attention to changes in behavior. And we're talking about, with this stuff, we're talking about things that are a significant shift from someone's baseline. So if someone is being impulsive or reckless or drinking a lot or isolating and withdrawing, you talk about people giving away their possessions. Like if this is a significant shift from what they usually look like, mm-hmm. even if it's temporary, pay attention. Like if someone's not going out on the weekends anymore, saying that they're busy or tired or whatever, that's fine. But it might be that. But we always want to assume the worst and be proactive because the worst that you can do is be wrong and someone's fine.
Right.
And then what did I just say? So we did, mood.
Yeah.
So if someone's agitated or frustrated or angry or sad or just any kind of major fluctuation from what would be a baseline, or if it's for a longer period of time than usual, or if someone is usually kind of moody and all of a sudden they're happy, like major shifts.
A lot of people talk about that one. Yeah. Because they're like, wait a minute, how are you happy all of a sudden?
That's the most terrifying one because a lot of times someone has actually come to terms with the fact that they're going to to make an attempt and then like the weight is lifted. So I know if people are like, I didn't see anything coming, but that's because no one has any idea what the hell they're supposed to look for.
Mm-hmm.
So no, you're not expected to know what was happening because no one has taught you what to pay attention to.
There you go.
So that's this conversation. So if you see anything in anyone that you know and love, have a conversation, ask a question. Are you okay? How are you feeling? Are you depressed? Ask them if they are suicidal.
Flat out ask it.
Ask it. Again, you're
don't dance around it.
You're not planting a seed. You're not putting something in their mind. They're not going to go do something crazy because you asked that. Ask them directly. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? Are you feeling suicidal? Like, are these thoughts that you ever have? Would you do anything? Just want to make sure you're cool. If they say no, okay. But if it continues, ask them again. Again, you can piss them off. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But I'd much rather have an angry friend than a dead one.
Yeah.
So talk. Okay. You need to keep the lines of communication open all the time. Be a pain in someone's ass, but they'll be alive.
Yeah. What are three takeaways for people? Like, you know, for our audience, not only listening in the car, but, you know, the people who are, you know, watching on YouTube. What are some three things that people need to take away?
Okay. Talk.
Okay.
So if you yourself are struggling with anything, if you're feeling depressed, anxious, overwhelmed, anything that's kind of a shift, if you're struggling to cope, if you're, I don't know, even if you're having a bad day, have a conversation. Reach out to anyone that you feel comfortable. Actually, even if you're uncomfortable, have an uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. Reach out to your primary care doctor, your therapist, your best friend, your coworker, someone that you've never met before through the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. Stay on top of it. Again, like, we all have these risk factors. So it's our job to make sure that we're using the protective factors that we have to maintain our own mental health. And having a conversation is a huge piece of that.
Okay.
So talk about yourself. Talk to others. So anyone that you see that might be struggling, pay attention to the risk factors that you're aware of and the people that you know, the warning signs that you see, any changes in mood, talk, behavior, anything like that. And if you see a shift, call it out. Ask. Be inquisitive. Be compassionate. Be like, I noticed that you're acting like this, or you seem to be feeling like this. Are you okay? What's going on with you? Bring it into the room. Are you feeling like you want to hurt yourself? Are you feeling suicidal? Do not dance around that question. Be blunt. Put it out there. If they say no, okay, cool. But make sure that you're having the conversation about how they're doing, how you can help, if they're okay, and if they are thinking about harming themselves.
Okay.
And then keep having it. People are going to say, oh, I'm fine. I'm cool. Like, it's good.
Like, are you? Because you haven't come out of your room in 3 days.
Right.
Yeah.
But then if you continue to kind of push the issue, maybe if nothing else, you might show them that you care. And such a huge element of this is hopelessness. Mm-hmm. So at least then it's kind of like that little bit of dissonance, like, oh, shit, does someone actually care about me? Which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they might actually take you up on it and have a conversation. And then we'll go more into this in the next one, but talk to survivors. So people who have lost someone to suicide, there's, again, that stigma. It kind of prevents them from getting the support like we talked about. Mm-hmm. So have a conversation. Like, you wouldn't shy away necessarily from if someone's father passed from natural causes to be like, oh, like, how are you doing with your dad? And I miss your dad, and have a conversation.
Right.
But people kind of avoid this with suicide because... what the hell do you say?
Yeah.
What Talk are helpful about it like
things
it's
to say?
Else. Yeah. And if the person isn't ready to have a conversation, they'll tell you. So, hey, you know, I realize it's been a little while since you lost your dad. How are you holding up? Do you want to talk about him? No, I'm not ready to right now. Or, yeah, I would love to. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a huge loss. And these people should be able to communicate about it and kind of acknowledge it along the way, just like everybody else.
Yeah, very much so.
Talk. Yeah.
I think one of the things I always have appreciated and respected about you is that your conversations are always very direct. There is never a wondering, what does Nikki think right now? Or what is she going to say? Because what she says right now is exactly what she thinks. And if she has a question, there's just no bullshit that comes along with you. And I just love that about you.
Thanks.
It's so easy to be friends with you.
Sometimes,
it does, but I love you for it. And it allows a very trusting relationship to be forged. Because I'm never going, well, is that what she really meant or what she was going to do? And you pick up real easy when you're like, hey, it's funny. She calls me boss. I hate it. Boss, I got something to talk to you about. I'm like, what? And you're like, no, everything's fine. Because she knows that I get worried about everything. it's appreciated. And I think if we had more of that kind of conversation with other people in our lives, it would reduce the amount of anxieties that we have. Like, even as you're talking right now, I'm thinking about one of my stepsons who's just struggling, and I can hear these risk factors. And it's like, even as a psychologist, I'm like, how can I get through? Because I'm in this weird situation of, you know, stepmother, there's mom, there's dad, like, where's my position? But I don't not say things.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to put it out there anyway. So, but I do appreciate that. Is there anything else that we need to know that we haven't talked about
Gosh, I'm sure that I could come up with so much more.
So much more. That's yeah. okay. We'll but, cover some more.
But again, just to reiterate, like, this is for everyone. This is a topic mm-hmm. that everyone needs to be paying attention to, both within themselves. Because again, you don't go to sleep one night and then just wake up suicidal. It's this slippery slope. And then you wake up and you're like, oh shit, like, how'd mm-hmm. I get here? So to pay attention to everything in yourself and your loved ones, and again, just have these conversations, it's so important.
It may seem like it's out of the blue, but it likely is not out of the blue. Mm-mm. It's just not blatantly obvious. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So much. Thanks. For coming, and thank you for, you know, viewing, you know, coming to the Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z and talking about suicide. Hard topic to discuss, a very important topic to discuss. We are going to be hearing Nikki's personal journey here in our next episode, which I think takes a lot of courage, and I do appreciate your willingness
sure.
to do that. So
no problem.
Stay tuned for that. If you have any other questions, if you have any other concerns, there is the section there underneath the YouTube video of where you can, you know, place any questions or comments. If you put questions down there, put them there. I'll answer them in the next question and answer episode. So thank you very much for joining us, and take good care. And thanks again.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening to Phoenix Rising with Dr. Z. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it, subscribe, and leave a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. We want to be a resource for anyone who is experiencing loss, and this is a simple way you can help us spread the word. Check out our show description. There you'll find a link to connect with me on social media, as well as helpful articles and resources.